The FCC has pulled the plug on LightSquared. The Alphabet Group's line up against user fees again. And Airbus CEO Tom Enders admits, we screwed that up. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, February 16th, 2012. The FCC has pulled the plug on LightSquared's attempt to establish a 4G wireless data network on frequencies adjacent to those used by GPS. On Tuesday, NTIA, the National Telecommunications and Information Administration, issued a report to federal regulators which concludes, quote, LightSquared's proposed mobile broadband network will impact GPS services and that there is no practical way to mitigate the potential interference at this time, unquote. LightSquared acquired the spectrum, which is limited by international treaty to weak signals from satellites, and wanted to convert it to a much more valuable use serving broadband customers with tens of thousands of ground stations running 1,500 watts each. Now the company's proposing a swap of that spectrum for other frequencies used by the Department of Defense. There's no official reaction yet from the Pentagon to that idea. ANN will have more on this story as it develops. The Obama administration's proposed budget for fiscal 2013, which begins in October, is pushing for general aviation user fees. General aviation advocacy groups are united in their opposition. NBAA President Ed Boland says the industry will need to engage Congress to stop the fees once again. Quote, ideally, the president would work with general aviation, helping companies compete and succeed, and providing a lifeline to communities across the country. Instead, he's repeatedly proposed anti-general aviation initiatives like this one, unquote. GAMA President Pete Bunce concurs, quote, we look forward to being partners with the administration and Congress in finding ways to strengthen the U.S. fiscal situation, but general aviation manufacturers will not stand for any proposals that threaten safety, jeopardize jobs, or endanger the full recovery of the industry, unquote. EAA VP Doug McNair says proposed user fees have nothing to do with fairness. Quote, it is an additional tax onus on GA aircraft owners and pilots who already pay their fair share of the small percentage of air traffic services they use through fuel taxes. Even pilots who never use ATC services pay for the system through the use of aviation gasoline and jet fuel, unquote. Airbus CEO Tom Enders made an admission this week that sounds unusually candid for any CEO. AFP News reports that speaking about the A380's wing crack problems in a news conference prior to the opening of the Singapore Air Show, Enders bluntly admitted, quote, we screwed that up. We will fix it as quickly as possible, and whatever it costs. That is something too early to say at this point, unquote. Enders says he's hopeful of the issue, along with the problems with the Super Jumbo's Rolls-Royce engines, will not hurt the company's reputation. U.S. Air Force Chief of Staff Norton Schwartz said in a speech last week that the Air Force's next bomber should not be extravagant but affordable. He adds it's more important that the plane be built in significant numbers and be ready for delivery in the mid-2020s. He said it was also important to avoid another experience like that of the B-2, an aircraft which ended up costing $2 billion apiece. Reuters reports that the major players are all lining up for a shot at the contract. Boeing, Northrop Grumman, and Lockheed Martin are all said to be in the hunt. Analysts think the Air Force will eventually order 200 of the new planes at a cost of about $550 million each. A Cessna 172 reported stolen from Buchanan Field Airport in Contra Costa County, California, was found crashed into the bank of a canal west of Fresno last week. The sole occupant was fatally injured. The Contra Costa Times reports the owner delayed reporting his missing plane as stolen until the day after he noticed it missing, because he thought it was being serviced. The hapless thief apparently crashed 3 days before his body and the wreckage were found. KTVU Television identifies the deceased as 52-year-old Ray Pirro and reports the plane's N number had been altered. Pirro had no pilot certificate and apparently hit power lines before going down. Still ahead, Aspen Avionics will become a factory option in Robinson Helicopters. Augusta Westland had a huge week at Heli Expo. And believe it or not, People Express is coming back. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, February 16th. I'm Paul Platt. Heli Expo is over for another year, and given the recession, there were a surprising number of announcements this week. Aspen Avionics' major announcement was that its Evolution primary flight display will be available as a factory option on the Robinson R-22, R-44, and R-66 series helicopters. The option is currently being evaluated and is expected to be available later this year. Before his retirement from the helm of the company he founded, Frank Robinson had resisted the move to glass panels in his helicopters, saying they hadn't proven their merit in improving safety. As a result, aftermarket STCs flourished. Brad Hayden, Aspen's VP of marketing, says the case is now clear. Quote, "The helicopter market is already realizing the safety-enhancing benefits of Aspen's glass panel technology. The Robinson platform will be a great helicopter to showcase our reliable and versatile avionics solution." Unquote. Augusta Westland had a huge week. The company announced firm orders for at least 52 new helicopters and options for five more worldwide. The two largest orders came from Life Flight Network, which will buy 15 new AW119KE models to be used in air ambulance work from bases in Oregon, Washington, and Idaho, and the other from Gulf Helicopters of Qatar, which is getting 15 new AW189s for use in transport to offshore oil and gas platforms in the Middle East, India, the Far East, and North Africa. Enstrom Helicopter Corporation, through its Japanese representative Aero Facility Company Limited, signed a follow-on contract for 28 aircraft at Heli Expo. They're part of a 30-helicopter program for the Japanese Ground Self-Defense Force. Enstrom's TH-480B turbine helicopter was chosen in a competitive bid to be the Japanese Defense Force's new primary training helicopter in 2010. The 28 aircraft in this new order will be delivered in lots of 8, 10, and 10 in 2012, 13, and 14, respectively. Sikorsky Aircraft announced this week that Bond Aviation Group, the British helicopter operator and subsidiary company of World Helicopters Group, has signed a contract to buy 16 S-92 helicopters. That purchase is the largest one-time acquisition of S-92s ever for Sikorsky. The S-92 is one of the largest helicopters in its heavy offshore class. Its cabin can carry 19 passengers and their luggage. In other news, it was announced this week that a new low-cost carrier plans to start up this summer with the name People Express. There was an airline in the 80s with that name, and it was a pioneer in the no-frills concept. When the original People Express launched in 1981, I was working as a radio personality in Buffalo, New York, the very first city served by the new airline from its hub in Newark. Hearing the airline is going to be revived brings back some funny memories. The new People Express will be based in Virginia and hopes to launch with service to Newark, Pittsburgh, and West Palm Beach. Chief Operating Officer Michael Morisi also worked for the old People Express and says his team hopes to emulate the original model but avoid the overexpansion that bankrupted the 80s version. I remember three things in particular about the original People Express. One, it was the first U.S. airline to charge for checked bags. The second bag would cost you an extra $3. Second, fares were as low as $19, but you had to fly through Newark. I think Denver to Jackson Hole went through Newark. And third, radio announcers would frequently mess up the name, calling it People's Express. At one point, their frustrated marketing people sent stations a memo stressing it was people, not peoples, and ending with the exclamation, quote, "We are not a Chinese airline," unquote. By today's standards, People Express might not seem much different from other airlines. They've all pretty much become buses with wings. If the new version has its hub at Newport News, at least it'll be better than flying through Newark. And finally today, President Obama has signed the FAA reauthorization bill into law. That's after Congress bickered through 23 temporary extensions going all the way back to the Bush years. Let's see a show of hands. How many are just glad we don't have to hear this story again for 4 years? That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.